Hello and welcome to The Modern Urologist. I'm Dr. Todd Cohn with Myriad Genetics, and I have the pleasure of being joined by Mr. John Earp from Valparaiso, Indiana. This is a departure from our usual format in that Mr. Earp is a prostate cancer survivor, and he joins us to share his story. Welcome, John, and thank you very much for joining. So, John, you wrote a really powerful story about your whole journey with prostate cancer. Could you just start from the beginning? Tell me what happened, how you ended up finding out, and just go on from there.
Well, back in 2019, right before July, a few months before, I was feeling really bad. I was feeling terrible, and then at 46, all 45 it was, I felt like I was losing something. And I felt I was still young and everything, but my muscles ached, my bones ached. I was having, I have migraines from time to time. They were exacerbated, and it felt like there's something really wrong here. There's no reason for me to, I'm pretty decently healthy. Just a little bit obese, not bad, but
you and the rest of the world.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm not really huge. I got a little chub. That's fine with me, and I guess the dad bods are in, so I'm cool with that. So.
Oh yeah. Everybody loves it. Everybody loves the dad bod. I'm right there with you.
So, I decided to tell my wife, I said, I feel like there's something really wrong. I just don't feel good. And I feel terrible every day. And so I decided to go to my family doctor and I tell her everything that I was feeling and everything that was going on. So she ran a whole blood panel on me. And
let me ask you, what was, before you went to her this time, what was the last time you actually went to the doctor?
Well, I've been going pretty regularly because I have diabetes.
Okay.
That's probably one of the biggest things I thought at first was, what my sugar was controlled, so I couldn't understand exactly what's going on here. So, and I have high blood pressure, which is controlled, and the migraines are seasonal, whatever that happens, and then the diabetes is controlled, so I couldn't figure out what's going on, but in my back of mind, there was something. And so I decided to have my doctor run that blood test, and then there was a lot of, as the blood tests came back, there's a lot of indicators in those blood tests. There was a lot of inflammation on my in my body, and like, okay, that can explain a little bit. Then she said there's this prostate number, which was almost, I want to say 13.96.
And that was the PSA.
That's a PSA, and that just, okay. And then all of a sudden it flooded my mind that my mom died of cancer, bile duct cancer 13 years ago. My dad has prostate cancer. He was in remission. He just recently got it back. My two sisters had breast cancer. So I said, well, this is great. This is
Got the whole family. You've known about cancer your whole life, practically.
Yeah, pretty much. Until when my mom got it, that was pretty tough to take. It was too late for her, once she decided to take care of it. Stubbornness, that's probably what it is. And so we went through our family doctor, and then she referred to a great doctor, urologist named Dr. Rao. And yep. So we started the process.
Yeah, I know, and he's a terrific guy.
So when this happens, everybody goes on Google and checks everything out. Yeah. You almost self-diagnose a little bit. You get a little scared. What's this mean? Because you don't know the doctor lingo, language when you get, what's this word means? What's that mean? So you just a lot of speculation until you get actual facts. So. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, okay. When you were heading towards, before you saw Dr. Rao, you were doing the Dr. Google thing, how scared were you knowing that your family, your father had prostate, your mother died from cancer, both your sisters had cancer? I mean, what was going through your head before you saw him?
Well, just, I think it was more, first it was like numb. Like, when someone passes away, you're not really feeling the moment. You're just, until everybody, after the funeral is over, you're just like, okay, then you start feeling those feelings. It took time for me to kind of like, grab the gravity of the situation, and the actual facts. What do we do? Where do we start? I think immediately, I didn't break down. It didn't bother me at first. And I'm like, okay, this is the first start. And so what do we do next? Cause I knew what my mom didn't do, which she should have done a year beforehand. She would have had maybe a different option, but she didn't tell anybody. She didn't go to the doctor. She didn't tell anybody. Until it was too late. When they opened her up, they said, well, this is too far advanced cancer. You only got X amount of months to live. So that's the thing is like, I didn't want to everybody, you got to be prepared, and you got to get on the ball with it or something. So, but that didn't really make my decision until I found about the genetics part of this whole situation.
All right, we'll get into that. I want to come up here. So, so you saw Dr. Rao, and what happened?
Well, you know, I wasn't ready for the finger check. It wasn't, you know, I didn't.
Are we ever ready for that?
No, you know, it's like violation, you know, like don't want to be, especially with guys, you know, especially my field or guys at work, just in general, guys just don't want that part of that situation to, okay, we have to go through it, realizing that the prostate is really easy to get to that area and check. Yeah. And as soon as he did the finger check, he said, well, it's pretty swollen and pretty hard. It's pretty good size. And then we started the ball rolling with the testing and stuff like that. So,
okay. A biopsy. So the next thing, so tell me, so he tells you need a biopsy.
Yes.
And I'm sure, you know, my line with the biopsy with most guys, it's, you know, they ask, well, how bad is it? And I said, well, it goes back to that saying, it's better to give than receive. And so, and I've done thousands of them and haven't felt one of them, but I'm sure, you know, did you do it in the office or? Did
It was in his office. It was short and simple. Wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Simple.
Sure.
The only thing is I lose a little bit of dignity when there's two young nurses there watching this go down and stuff. But it was pretty interesting. As he numbed the area and took the biopsy, and then when the biopsy came back, it was a sliver of cancer.
Okay. So, tell me about that experience. Did he call you and tell you you had it, or did you make an appointment and you?
Well, make the appointment, officially go in. His bedside manner is just absolutely amazing. He was very relatable. He talks to you, and you know, like some doctors are different, but he was just totally, you know. But he seemed like a very, very eager. Very, he wanted to find out what this was, how big it was, or what's the options. And when he displayed that kind of a mannerisms, I knew that this doctor was there to do this job and help me out and figure this whole thing out.
He had your intentions, and not his own, but cared about what you're doing and what you're feeling. Yeah, that's great. That's comforting because it's a partnership, and there's a lot of trust that's involved in these kind of things. And if you don't have that, if you don't have that sense of trust, it's difficult to go to the next step.
Well, yeah, especially me. I had a surgery happen, a nasal surgery the doctor did wrong to me and stuff like that with hundreds of other patients. And so breaking down that trust of doctor relationship, it was kind of hard at first, but the way he came across was just like, hey, you won me over. Let's figure this out together. He was eager to get like a forensic scientist, and he really wanted to get after it.
Okay. So what did he recommend? What did he talk to you about doing or possibilities?
Well, we went do some more testing in between the span of July and I think it was October. We did some more testing just to make sure these numbers are right and see where, you know, he talked about surgery, and he gave me all the options out there and stuff like that. And so he said, well, let's go this route. Let's check the geneticist, because you told me that your family history of the cancers. So four direct family members had cancer.
Yeah. Could you just, I mean, I know you mentioned it before. Could you just list those again?
Okay.
Because it's pretty extensive.
Yeah. First, my mom passed away 13 years ago with bile duct cancer. She didn't last long once she found out it was too late for her. My dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer right around that time, but he took the seeds, seeds.
How old was he when he had his cancer? Do you know?
He was 72, 73 years old.
Okay. So he was older.
Yeah. He was much older. And then through research, it's usually it's not really the younger guys that get this prostate. It's more common with 50 and older, I believe.
So. You're right. But we'll talk about that when you get to the next part. Yeah.
So then my two sisters had breast cancer. My oldest sister got breast cancer after my youngest sister. Well, they're both older than I am. Both had breast cancers. Both had
Do you know how old they were when they were diagnosed?
I want to say around this, I want to say about 12 years ago for them.
Okay.
And I believe they, you know, it was first Tracy, the youngest one, and then Susan a couple years later, they had breast cancer.
How old were they back then?
48 for Tracy, 55, 56 for Susan.
Okay. So I want you to know that the fact that your wife knew and you didn't, don't feel bad about that, because no guys know.
Well, hey, all I gotta remember is my anniversary, and that's it, man. We're good.
Amen. That's why I always bring my wife wherever I go, because I can't give an answer.
Yeah.
So you had four close, you know, what we call first degree, four close family members.
Yes.
That had cancer. So then, so Dr. Rao recommended because of that.
Yeah,
that there's something going on in this family.
Oh, absolutely. That really intrigued him. So that really, I could see his mind rolling. You know, let's see, figure this out. This is too important. He goes, you're too young to be having this. And, you know, it's just kind of an interesting phenomenon, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. So,
yeah. So, you know, ultimately, you know, after you got that test, they found you had something on your genetic test. And
oh, yeah. It's a BRCA, not BRCA, it was a CHEK2 gene.
CHEK2. Okay. Did they explain to you, or did he tell you, kind of sit down with you and say what that does or what that means?
Well, geneticist, I forgot her name, the doctor that she he referred to for the geneticist, she explained it absolutely thorough. I mean, she went back sure. she went back to tracing back years over in like the Czech Republic, right around that area, Yugoslavia, whatever, right in that area, explained the origins and how that was passed down from generation to generation, father to father. And and lucky me, I got that checked too.
Yeah, real quick question. Did your, by any chance, did your sisters get checked as well?
I don't think they've got checked. They didn't. I since I got this, I told my whole family members, especially you.
Right.
And then they didn't, I don't think they got it checked. But possible that they might have got it, you know.
They may have it too. Yeah, there's about a 50% chance if you have it.
Yeah.
They do. And, you know, they already know they had the breast cancer. The question is, if they have kids, is it going to be something? I'm sure you probably talked to your wife, and I know you've got, we'll talk about your family in a sec.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's probably something that they, you know, they should think about doing as well.
Yeah.
Seeing if they have it, just for their families.
Oh, absolutely. That's ever since this happened, I've been telling them, and basically keep talking about it constantly, especially the guys at work. You know, I keep telling her, and they give me the deer in the headlight look, you know, so.
Well, they probably can't get past the prostate exam. Like, you did what? So you decided after you found this out, I guess you went through the options on how to treat your cancer.
Yeah.
And you ultimately did what?
Well, went back to doctor after the geneticist gave me the sheet on it. And so we looked at the plan, and then he said, I can do surgery at the end of the year or the beginning of the year. He suggested surgery because if you did chemo, trying to go back to surgery later on down the road because of the radiation, it would be very hard to do the operation. And so he gave me the option of doing the radioprostatectomy.
Uh-huh.
And I said, and we'd waited on it for maybe a week, and he decided to go ahead and get it done before the year's over.
Okay. And you had that done. I imagine you had it done with your robotically.
Oh yeah. It was kind of interesting. I looked at it and see how the procedure went. It's pretty fascinating.
Absolutely.
And a lot easier for the doctor to get in around there to take the prostate out. So
yeah, it's really revolutionized things because it makes it easier to see and to put everything back together. Plus, how long were you in the hospital after you had the surgery?
4 or 5 days.
Okay. So just a few days in the hospital. And
yeah.
How'd you feel after the surgery?
Oh, I was pretty sore. I felt the prostate. Also, I didn't even mention the prostate had two nodules on the outside of the prostate.
Okay.
I don't know if you've got all the notes there, but when he went in there, it was pretty extensive. It started getting on the outside of the prostate already. It was more advanced than it was through the biopsy. It was like a sliver, but going in there, it was a whole lot more extensive. It took him an extra 40 minutes to do the procedure to clean up around the area.
Okay. So. And then how are you doing after? You know, it's not quite a year ago or about a year ago that you had this done?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good, except I'm still having stress incontinence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to get a little bit of erectile function back. I'm totally dysfunctional. I did take some medication for that, but it didn't work yet. But it does take time. So.
Right. Well, because of the diabetes too, that makes it a little bit, he probably told you that the chances of it coming back are a little bit decreased with the diabetes just in general, even though you're well controlled, that still makes it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But you're still not, I mean, We've seen lots of things where people get it back almost completely, if not completely, even a year or more later. So
I'm still holding hope, dude. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, I want to kind of go back on the genetic testing.
Yeah.
And when you found out that you had an abnormality, you know, we call it a genetic mutation. They're common, but they're only about 1 in 6 guys. I mean, how did you feel? What went through your head when they told you, you know, you were born with something that made you more susceptible to have this thing? What went through your head when they told you that?
Well, my family, my two boys. I have two boys, 19 and 17, and my wife. That's the first thing that came through. Is like, well, this is a, I know I have 4 family members that have cancer. Now this gene is just really kind of a bad start, you know, or at this point in my life, it's kind of like, well, I'm kind of screwed in a sense, but.
Yeah, well, no, I think the way you said it, the bad start is exactly how we describe it is you started out a little bit lower, you know, on the ladder than other people, because you started out with the mutation where you need 2 to get, that can cause, you have the 2 mutations that may cause a cancer. And you started out with 1. You started out life with 1. So you only had to get 1. Yeah. Other people, if they don't have that, they have to get 2. As one doctor friend of mine, you know, says, it's like you have to get hit by lightning twice. But you only had to get hit by lightning once.
Oh, yeah. It was a pretty good shock.
Yeah, I'm sure. So let me ask, I'm sure you and your wife talked about it. Have you talked to your sons about this?
Yeah, I did. And that's the first thing that was in my mind is to tell them about that and to maybe it's later on in their life. They're still young, maybe 10, 12 years down the road or so that they need to check. And then, and I'm still around. I want to make sure they're checking it, because if you can get it ahead of time, it could be a lot easier, you know, and take care of it completely. Just like breast cancer, I imagine works in the same way. You know, if you take 1, you might as well take them both and make sure it doesn't come back on you. You know, just get it done and over and not have to worry about it no more.
So you told them, get checked.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you know, not to let it control your life, but get checked, because it could be something that's going to hit you earlier.
If you can take care of it now, later on down the road, you know, you wish you could have, or you can go get a time machine, go back in time, and there's no chance of that, so.
You're right. Now, you had mentioned earlier that it's a disease that usually happens over the age of 50, which is absolutely right. And, you know, the fact that you had it when you were 46 raises those red flags that says, you know, something else might be going on.
Yeah.
And you found it. So, and you found it because you didn't feel well and you saw what happened with your mom.
Yeah, there's a lot of things started coming into play, you know, the stuff that you kind of pushed off to the side. It all comes together and figure it, well, okay, there's a problem here. You need to fix it. Either get on the ball or be a stubborn person and never take care of it and then not enjoy your retirement because you're going to be dying of cancer when you should have took care of 20 years ago.
Yeah. So you said you talked to your friends and your coworkers and stuff, and you're like spreading the gospel here.
Yeah.
What do you tell them? And I know they don't want to go to the doctor because they don't want to, you know, get the exam and all that, but you know, how forceful and what kind of message do you give to these guys?
Well, I kind of make it lighthearted in a sense. You know, if you come in pretty hard with it, these guys, you know, they're off put or just don't want to talk about it. You kind of joke around a little bit and stuff like that, especially with the finger check. You know, everybody knows the finger check. If there was a cop is checking you out or whatever, or a doctor, you know, use a reference from a movie.
Fletch.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, yeah. Things like that. And so you kind of, you know, you lighthearted it. So you won't get them, if they hear the straight news about it and without trying to be personal about it, you know, and sincere about it. So my intentions are always insincere to tell. When I tell somebody, you need to go get a check. And
sure.
Some guys ask some more questions. Usually you try to just single them out, because if you put them in a group together, they kind of, you know,
it turns into like everybody's kind of kidding around more than they are serious about it.
Yeah, and then some guys will come back and ask you a few things, you know, and like, you know, if you have a history, you know, I tell them my whole story or explain, you know, don't wait around, because, you know, we work all 30, 40 years on our trade. You know, I'm a heavy equipment operator, and we want to enjoy our pension, you know, especially when we retire. It's, that's what I put in. I put that as you put 30, 40 hard years in, built up this great pension, and you don't enjoy it because you could have took care of it when you were in your 30s or your 40s. So depending on where this cancer does come up in your, you know, in your life. So.
Right. Hell yeah. No, I think it's great. And I'm sure that when you talk about getting your prostate exam, you get no sympathy from your wife at all. She probably says, well, look what I have to do every year.
She's a rare woman. She's really sincere and thoughtful, but yeah. Having a baby compared to what I've been through.
Oh yeah. You're absolutely true. You're absolutely right.
I can't relate that. You know, I got it like, okay, she's still above me. I'm straight here. So I'm fine. Well,
you know, John, listen, I really want to thank you. You know, not only do you have a powerful story, you have a powerful message, and I really appreciate it. And the fact that you're doing what you're doing and going out and spreading the word and, you know, caring enough about other people to share your story, is phenomenal. And the fact that, you know, how you've done with your family and your sons and all that, I give you, you know, just the absolute most admiration for doing this, because not everybody does. A lot of people keep it to themselves and don't want to share. And, you know, even with the outcomes of surgery and how you're doing, I'm sure that, you know, everybody's kind of worries about that, but you have a very good perspective, and it's, you know, I admire that so much. And I encourage you to keep spreading the word, and we'll probably come back to you in the future and ask you to, you know, please, because people need that. They need to see a positive person, and it gives them the message that they really need to take control of things.
I want to be an advocate. You know, I want to be, you know, available to, because like I said before, and we reiterate it all the time, is that these guys do not want to take care of business. When you guys start thinking of your families, you got to think of your loved ones. And if you could take care of it now, because now this genetic part of this that's in the play of this whole thing in cancer is a huge game changer. And
absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, what I'm taking, the message I'm taking home from talking with you, is how important it was, number one, to get checked. Something was wrong and you got checked. And then you also had that whole family that, you know, unfortunately, you had a lot of cancer in your family. And that was probably in the back of your mind when you weren't feeling well. And then you did something about it and learned that, yes, the genetics take a big part in not just women with breast cancer, but in men with prostate cancer. So, again, you know, the message is so strong. And you know, we're hoping with education, talking to guys like you that have done the absolute right thing for themselves and their family, that we can spread the word and make, you know, other people, you know, be Johns like you.
Yeah, there you go.
So I really want to thank you, and believe me, I'll be in touch, and we'll reach out and, you know, keep an eye on you. And if there's anything we can do to help you in your journey in the future, please let us know as well.
I know I have a servant's heart. You know, we've been in church for a long time and stuff. We've been in children's ministry, and so I'm willing to do anything for anybody, or at least especially in this case, let everybody know. Hey, let's talk. Let's have a little dialogue and talk about it. It's not, don't be afraid about it. Let's talk about it. See what happens.
We need more people like you. That's all I'm going to say. Yep. All right. Listen, I want to thank you again. Have a wonderful night, and keep that attitude. It's terrific. It'll help in everything you do.
All right, Todd. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.